The never-ending shilas that come up as a result of this coronavirus pandemic, one of the newer issues that I was thinking about, I haven't seen so many people talking about it, is, of course, lighting publicly. This Rav Shech already wrote a tshuva about lighting publicly at outdoor minyanim. I don't know how many people are still davening outdoors. It's pretty cold outside, but if there are, and there are those who are looking to light Hadlokas Neres Chanukah outdoors, and that kind of outdoor shul, so Shefla discussed, the shul in that context, but there's, in terms of it's outdoors. Another related question is, those who light Chanukah menorah at their Chanukah parties with families, many times Chanukah parties this year are gathering together, not in person, but over Zoom, if there is legitimacy at all to lighting Chanukah menorah, again, with a bracha, you can light a menorah wherever you like without a bracha, but if you're lighting with a bracha, Is there any legitimacy to doing so if the group of people who will be viewing the menorah, other than the people in your own house, will be only seeing the menorah over Zoom? So this whole minhag to light the menorah in shul, which is really the paradigm for public lightings of the menorah, is somewhat unusual, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Shabbos and Chafal from a base pretty clearly that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beisai. It's one man together with his whole household, and it's not just the mitzvah that the household fulfills together. It seems to be a mitzvah that's incumbent or linked or connected to the home. Where does one place the menorah? Al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. He lights it right outside of his door, and it has to be connected with his home. If he doesn't have a home, it sounds like he can't even light Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. That's why Tosfos says in Masechta Sukkah, we have a second bracha by Neres Chanukah of Sha'asa Nisim to account for those who don't necessarily have a home and therefore won't be able to light Hadlokas Neres Chanukah themselves. At least they should be able to make a Birchas HaRoeh, which is Sha'asa Nisim. So the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah seems to be inextricably linked to one's home. And therefore, it's not surprising, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if a person lights only in shul, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. It has to take place dafka, together with his home. So why then do we light Hadlokas Neres Chanukah in the shul? And this was a minig that was quoted by the Rishonim. It does not appear anywhere in the Gemara. This is a minig that was quoted by the Rishonim. But what is the reason for the minig? So Beis Yosef brings a few reasons for this minig. The first is because maybe there are guests who are actually sleeping in shul. That's an interesting suggestion. For that reason, we make kiddush right in shul, because there were guests who were eating and sleeping in the shul, and they would have kiddush b'makom suuda in the shul. Nowadays, we don't have guests sleeping in the shul. That's why many shuls have abolished the minhag of saying kiddush Friday night in shul. There are those shuls that have retained it, but if a new shul is starting, or even some shuls that had the minhag, many have abandoned this minhag of saying kiddush in shul, because we don't really typically have guests sleeping over in shul. So that doesn't seem to be a compelling reason for us to continue this practice of lighting the menorah in shul. What is the reason that we continue to do it? So the Beis Yosef quotes two other reasons from the Rishonim. One reason is mishum persumei nisa, to be mafarsim the nes, to everyone in public, and particularly in the times that, starting in the Rishonim and then already a little bit, all the way until our time, at least in certain communities, and in Chutz La'aretz in particular, that we continue to light the menorah in our homes, not outside, as the Gemara says, because b'shas sakana menicha shulchan v'dayot, at a time of sakana, religious persecution, or not even persecution, but we're uncomfortable lighting outside, one can light inside of his home, and that's sufficient. And in our times, particularly in Chutz La'aretz, many or most have the practice of lighting specifically inside of the home. So we don't have the same measure of persumei nisa perhaps that we had in previous generations. So that's why, the minhag perhaps developed to light in shul, which was the most public gathering that existed within the community as an opportunity for persumei nisa, which was missed out upon, after they started lighting inside as opposed to outside. So one reason is persumei nisa, particularly in the absence of lighting outside. The other reason, as quoted by the Rishonim, is because it's similar to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis Shul is a Mikdash Miyat, like the Gemara says in Megillah. And since the Shul is a Mikdash Miyat, so then a person or the community should light the menorah in the Shul, which is comparable to the Beis HaMikdash. And the lighting of menorah is somewhat linked to the lighting of the menorah, the one that we do in our home is somewhat similar to the lighting of the menorah that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes both of these reasons. The Shulchan Aruch says that we light in the shul mishum persumei nisa, but yet at the same time, Shulchan Aruch says the menorah in the shul should be placed in the south, just like the menorah was in the south in the Beis HaMikdash. So in that Sif and Shulchan Aruch, where he discusses lighting in shul, it sounds like really, you know, there's a hybrid, there's a combination between both of these two reasons. But which one is the primary reason? Which one is the driving force behind the minig is a machlokes between contemporary poskim. There are many poskim in the field, Minchas Yitzchak, Shlomo Zalman, Tzitzel Eliezer, Rav Sternbach, many, many others, that in order to justify a lighting in public beyond the lighting that we're going to do in our homes, right? That's the basic lighting. That's how one fulfills the mitzvah. But above and beyond that, they instituted as a minig to light in shul. Where one is not really yoytze the mitzvah. Even if he lit in shul with a bracha, he goes home and he lights at home with a bracha. He really fulfills it at home. So the reason why we light in shul is really a combination, or only as a result of both reasons together working in tandem. And that is number one, that is dumya de beis hamikdash. And the other is that there's a greater opportunity for pursuing nisa. But then, if that's the case, you really need both reasons. So then one would not be justified in lighting in another public setting, which is not a shul. Right? Even if there might be many people who will see the menorah, if it's not in shul, it's not dumi de beis hamikdash, there's no kedushas mikdash, there's no mikdash miyat, so then one would not be justified in lighting menorah there with a bracha. Again, you want to light a menorah anywhere, that's fine, but you wouldn't light the menorah there with a bracha. That was not the minig that was established by the Rishonim. Other paiskim of the opinion, this is in the Oz Nidbru by Rabbi Yomina Tzadik, but Rabbi Avadio also has this in the Alki Yosef, but this of course has been championed by Chabad, is that their opinion is, no, either one of the reasons is sufficient, you know, either that it's in a shul, or even if it's just additional persume nisa, that itself independently is a justification for lighting menorah, you know, publicly, and with a bracha, doesn't necessarily have to be in shul, and therefore they, of course, have advocated, you know, this was one of the causes that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, lobbied on behalf of, was that they should light the menorahs. They even have menorah wars, you know, in terms of who can have the biggest menorah and the, you know, the most public menorah. There have been lawsuits filed over menorahs, who has the patent or the trademark on the biggest menorah around. Their opinion is that one can light a menorah with a bracha in a public setting. That is, in fact, by the way, there's a subject based on a Supreme Court precedent. There was a Supreme Court case about a nativity scene in Pennsylvania, I believe. In 1984, a famous case called Lynch versus Donnelly, about whether that's a violation of church versus state, for the to have a public nativity scene on public grounds at City Hall, and it was ruled that that is not, 5-4, I believe, the Supreme Court ruled that that is not a violation of church and state, and based on that precedent, they lobby, Chabad lobbies for public lightings of menorah, even, of course, not in shul. Yeah, Benji, what do you say?
Is there such a thing as through like a screen, like TV,
etc. So that's the one thing I want to answer. We'll get to that in a second. So there is a third perspective over here, and perhaps this would justify why the Shulchan Aruch brings up both reasons, that it's not two independent reasons, and presuming Nisa alone might not be enough, maybe you need both, but you know, the other approach, that you need both, is somewhat curious. You know, if you need both, it would imply that there's a relationship between the two. And it's not just two independent reasons the Shulchan Aruch brings. And if neither one independently is significant, why should together they be sufficient grounds to light a menorah with a bracha? So the relationship between these two reasons, number one, presuming nisa, the other one, of the fact that the shul is like a mikdash miyat, or, you know, dumi the beis hamikdash, what does that have to really do with presume nisa? What does presume nisa have to do with that? So perhaps there is a third approach over here, and this is already indicated by the Vilna Gaon, who on his comments on that, the Siman in Shulchan Aruch, says that perhaps the lighting that we do in shul with a bracha on a minig, which itself is somewhat unusual, we don't have time to flesh that out, but making a bracha on a minig is, at least in the land of the Shulchan Aruch, is somewhat controversial. But the Shulchan Aruch over here, similar, you know, accepts this readily, that we should make the bracha on this minig. Perhaps this minig really is, and this is the Vilna Gaon compares it to Hallel on that we do, or that many do, on the first night of Pesach in Shul, other than the Hallel that we're going to do in the morning, or the Hallel that we do at the Leil HaSeder as individuals, as families, in our own private homes. There was a communal Hallel that was done in Shul. And the Vilna Gaon claims that this lighting of the menorah that we do in Shul is similar, or is patterned after, that Hallel that we say on the first night of Pesach together in Shul, many say it with a bracha. What is the connection between the two? So perhaps what the Vilna Gaon is driving at, and this is what they quote in the name of Reb Chaim, is that the Hallel that we do at the Leil the first night of Pesach in Shul, other than the Hallel we're going to do at the Leil HaSeder at home in our private home, you know, in our private seders, is a communal Hallel. See, there's an individual Hallel that we express as you know, on our own level, in the individual level to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's a challah that we offer together as a community, and that's the challah that we say in shul with a bracha. That's separate and distinct from the challah that's personal, that's individual, the Leil HaSeder. And perhaps this Halaksa menorah is a public lighting of the menorah on behalf of the community. And what is the community center for the Jewish people, for the Jewish community? Is the Beis HaMikdash or the modern contemporary community? Tikkun Chutz Laretz, right? What is the center of the Jewish community is the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaKnesses. And that's where we offer our communal lighting of the menorah. And that's why Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Moreh Ksiya, you have to have a minyan there. If you want to light a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, you have to have a minyan in shul. There are those, Reb Chaim added, that it has to be a halachic minyan. It has to be that they gather together to daven. It has to be something that binds them together as a unit, al pi halacha, that they constitute a tzibor, quote unquote, al pi din, and therefore he justified or explained. That's why the Ramah says that we minig was always to light between mincha and mariv, because they were this group constituted a tzibor for davening mincha, and then once they have the status of a tzibor, now they are there's justification for them to offer a lighting of the menorah that is b'toras tzibor. Prior to davening Mariv. So that's why Rav Salvechik argued that one should always, or the community, if they're going to light the menorah in shul, should always do so between Mincha and Mariv when they have a chalois tzibor, and not, after Mariv is over, or before Mincha is started. So therefore Friday night and Matzei Shabbos, you run into problems over here. So you shouldn't do it before Mincha is started. You have to daven Mincha earlier and have enough time to light the menorah before Shabbos comes, and then Matzei Shabbos, the Rav had to squeeze it in somehow, in shul, and Matzei Shabbos after Mariv, before Havdalah, so they have a Torah Tzibor from Mariv, but the Torah Tzibor hasn't been lost yet, because they haven't said Havdalah, they haven't said Kaddish Tiskabel, or something like that. But fundamentally, this lighting in shul is really a halakha b'Torah Tzibor, and what is it that binds us together as a Tzibor? Is the fact that we are not united together here in Shul, which is Dumya, the Beis HaMikdash, which was the community center of the Jewish people. Okay, so you have the kind of three perspectives over here. Many felt in order to make a bracha, you have to have all the elements present. It has to be a Torah Tzibor. It has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, which is a Mikdash Miyat. And of course, there has to be an additional Pursumei Nisa, and others felt, no, Pursumei Nisa is enough of a reason alone to justify lighting, even with a bracha. And therefore, there were those, as we mentioned, certain parts of our community, who did light outside with a bracha because they felt Pursumei Nisa itself is, grounds in and of itself. Rav Shechter argued that we, it has to have B'Torah Tzibor, you have to have a basic Knesses, and therefore, even if a minyan is davening outside, for many months, they really shouldn't be lighting menorah outside with a bracha. It's not Dumya the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a Mikdash Miyat, it's not a Beis HaKnesses, and therefore they shouldn't be lighting at all. And if they're gonna, even in shul, it should be done between Mincha and Mariv, like the Ramah Paskins. But again, there were always those who lit outside, Chabad most notably, lit outside just for the reasons of Pursumei Nisa. But what if the Pursumei Nisa is only going to be over Zoom? Meaning I lit in my home, by the window, or wherever I lit, and then I'm going to have a Zoom party, a Hanukkah party, together with all my relatives. And now, am I justified in lighting again, with a bracha again, just because there'll be additional Pursumei Nisa over Zoom? Interesting Shiloh. So I think that this should be dependent on a suffix that Rabbi Avadia has in Chavad Das about all kind of live streaming. He wasn't discussing the internet, he was discussing things that are seen over the television, but things that one sees live, clearly that's more impactful than seeing it in a picture that's from the past, or not seeing it at all, right? It's somewhere in between not seeing it at all and seeing it in a picture versus actually being there in person. It's not as impactful as being there in person, but it's not the same necessarily as not seeing it at all or seeing it in a picture. So what does one do about any kind of, all of these kinds of brachas that we make over seeing something when one sees it, over television or on a live stream? One could have this suffix, and this is his context, if a person sees someone that he hasn't seen for 30 days, he makes a bracha of Shechianu. What if I only see him on the television? What if I only see him over a live stream? Or we have a birchas ilanos that you make overseeing, the tree sprouting fruits for the first time, again, in Chodesh Nisan. So you make a bracha. What if I only saw it over Zoom or over a live stream, over the television? Is that considered to be seeing something? Well, let's say I saw, one teres kriya when he sees the Beis HaMikdash b'Churbano. What if he only saw it over a television or over a live stream? Is that called seeing it? Is it not called seeing it? Rav Avadia has a suffix. He's not sure. It is more impactful than not seeing it at all, but it's not as impactful as being there in person, say Lizit is kind of a suffix. So one would probably not make Birch Silanos for seeing trees over a live stream. One would probably not tear Kriya over seeing the Koiso, the Beis HaMikdash B'Churbono, over a television or a live stream. But at the same time, Rabbi Avadia, argues it's a suffix. So if one goes, let's say he saw it over a live stream, he saw it over a television, was live, and then he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he goes to the Kaiser within 30 days, he should probably not, he might not necessarily have to tear Kriya. It would be a suffix. Well, maybe he saw it already, and a suffix Kriya is Lakula. He wouldn't probably have to tear Kriya. So it would probably be a suffix, in terms of how we should treat it. So over here as well, it would probably be a suffix if this is considered additional Persume Nisa, even if you will, right? And there's already contentious and kind of controversial. Even if you will, though, make a bracha for just Persume Nisa alone, without all the other elements of being the Torah Sibor, being in a Beis HaKnesses that has the status of Mikdash Miat, to make a bracha over lighting the menorah in public, but it's not really in public in person, it's over Zoom, that already is a further suffix. Whether it's as impactful, whether there is that kind of Persume Nisa, right? For certainly, if people will see it later on, I'll print it in a newspaper and people will see the picture of it, that's certainly not good enough to make a bracha over Persume Nisa. And how should we treat a live stream or Zoom is really somewhat controversial. And therefore, I think there's already a sveik sveika, right? The suffix brachos is lakua, and here there's already many, many sveikas that one has to encounter, so that doesn't seem like something that, in my mind, that's justifiable. Yeah, Reggie, what are you saying?
I was going to say, if all of a sudden, this suffix, if we would...